Well, thank you, Paulus. It's great to be here. Also, by way of just a little bit of an introduction, I definitely got my start from HRM, who's on the line, essentially learning about sun gazing, partly from him directly and partly from people who he has spoken to, and then also a few years back organized and hosted HRM through a West Coast speaking tour. And I would say that my practice, while it began with the HRM method, has sort of gone off and taken a little bit of its own course. I feel like this is not something that you just, you know, follow because somebody tells you to. You follow it when your guidance and your spirit tells you this is the right thing. I'd like to also mention, this is just, I find this a fascinating little bit of detail of trivia, that HRM was educated as a mechanical engineer, and that's what I am also. And you'll hear some occasional references to, like, kind of, there's almost like an engineering mindset. In the engineering mindset, you don't just throw money at a problem. You're the one who figures it out. That's what engineers do. And I feel like that same spirit or confidence or attitude, you know, permeates many other aspects of your life. And I do think that when you're a sun gazer, that is very much part of your mindset, that you can't depend on others. It's kind of your own thing that you have to figure out. I'd like to start by talking about the allopathic medical model, because it's something that we all, you know, are familiar with. I've heard it referred to as the finger in the dike approach. You know, you spring a leak, you plug it with your finger, and when you get more leaks than you have fingers, the water breaks through the dike and you drown and you die. And so basically, if you feel like that's not such a great idea, you could always proactively fix the weak spots. Let's say this particular dike has, like there's a rainstorm and there was some erosion and there's some weak spots. You can proactively fill in the weak spots. And this is kind of related to preventive medicine, which is obviously a whole lot better, fixing it before it breaks. But there's really more you can do. Here's where the engineering part comes in. I picture in my mind this thick concrete wall with reinforced, you know, 1-inch diameter rebar inside, welded together to have this impervious thing that no matter what the weather conditions, no matter what rainstorms you have, that this is going to stand up and will just always be there. And now you can drive a truck into the thing, and it's going to hold up and protect that dike. That is comparable to optimal health. That's exactly what we should all be striving for. That's what we want. We want to be impervious to disease. So how do you attain optimal health? Well, the interesting thing is you already know the answer. You've heard it already a million times. Improve your diet, exercise, reduce stress, get a better night's sleep, boost your immune system so it'll protect you against all the deadly diseases. Emotionally and spiritually, get your house in order, because we all know that you can literally worry yourself sick and maybe even worry yourself to death. So if you already know all this, well, why are we having this conversation? It's kind of like if you were to ask me how to make $1 million in the stock market, I would say buy low and sell high. Knowing what to do is obvious and self-evident, but doing it is very hard. So how do you improve your diet? How do you overcome the obstacles standing in the way of you getting proper exercise? How do you reduce stress? How do you get a better night's sleep? How do you attain optimal health? Well, obviously, since this is a talk about sun gazing, I think the answer should, you know, come as no surprise that the sun is the great enabler helping you do all these things, that if everything's working together the right way, will help you achieve optimal health. Now, you got to listen to my words carefully. It by itself will not do it automatically. It will help you do it. It will enable you to do it, but you still have to do it. So that's generally the introduction. That's kind of the general thing that we're looking at. How can you use the sun, the power of the sun, to help you do these things that you know you need to do? So let's look at things that are kind of piece by piece here. The first step I mentioned is improve your diet, both the quantity and the quality. Most of us, I would say the human beings are hardwired to overeat because your distant prehistoric ancestors, that habit that they had kept them alive because it helped them bridge through lean times. We were, you might say, lucky or unlucky, I'm not sure how to put it, to live in a time where there are no lean times. The very same thing that kept them alive is now killing us. So how can you use the sun to eat less? And basically, you know what? I would like to break with tradition here. Just read a little passage from a book. It's called The Weight Loss Cure by Kevin Trudeau. And it's a bestseller. It's on the bookshelves in bookstores right now. And I want to read from an excerpt verbatim from page 85. So listen carefully. This something's going to surprise you here. One of the steps that he says, you know, to achieve optimal health, get sun. Lack of sunlight, and I'm quoting verbatim now, lack of sunlight on the body has been shown to lead to depression, overeating, increase in appetite, low metabolism, and weight gain. Ideally, 20 minutes in the sun over a naked body each day is recommended. Do not use any lotions, sunscreens, or sunglasses. For more information on the benefits of the sun, go to www.solarhealing.com. I was amazed to see that. That is HRM's website. Exposure to the sun in this method also increases the release of endorphins, eliminating depression and suppressing appetite. The sun is also the best source of vitamin D and thus has been shown to prevent cancer. I'm ending the quote now. You know what I find fascinating with this? We all know that eating less or reduced caloric intake has been established for decades as a way of improving your health and leading to a more longer disease-free life. Him mentioning solarhealing.com makes me wonder, are we leaving the realm of kooks that nobody believes and going mainstream now? Are we making this transition from kooks to visionaries? Who knows? But I thought that it was very interesting that Kevin Trudeau states very, you know, clearly in his thing. He doesn't come out and talk about sun gazing, but by having that website there, he is definitely referring to it, and it's clear that he is at least cognizant of that. Now, the question is, will sun gazing actually allow you to eat less? That has been my personal experience. That's been the experience of many people. Now, what, can you go for years and years without any food? Well, Hira, you have done that, and I think there have been a few, you know, special people in history who have done that. Generally speaking, most of the people I know who are sun gazers have not had that exact experience, but at least that's possible. But suffice it to say that if it reduces your appetite and satisfies you, gives you nutrition or nutrients or energy with less food, then right there, that's a pretty good benefit. So anyway, let's look at the next the little thing that I was referring to, and that is to achieve some kind of calmness or serenity or improve your mood or your mental state, how can the sun be used for that? It's very well known, very well established, and I mean, we're talking in, you know, mainstream medical journals and, you know, that kind of stuff, that the retina of your eye is connected by way of one of the optic nerves to the pineal gland, which stimulates, in the presence of the bright light of the day, serotonin, or I should say it causes the pituitary to secrete serotonin, which is like this happy drug. Everybody everywhere knows that they're happier, their mood gets elevated when they're out in the bright light of the sun. You know, that's not really news to anybody. The nice part is that it also sets in motion a biological biochemical chain reaction resulting in improved or increased melatonin later in the day at night, helps you go to sleep, and which in turn leads to the greater production of human growth hormone, which boosts your immune system, and thereby now leading to this other improvement. How can you make your immune system stronger using the sun? And that's a pretty clear connection there. And we're gonna jump back to that a little bit later, boosting your immune system. I might add, by the way, that bacteria is everywhere, and viruses are everywhere. It's my belief, and I have, many reasons to think this is true. It's not bacteria that makes you sick. It's your weakened or compromised immune system that makes you sick, that causes bacteria to grow. And I've even heard the theory that the purpose of bacteria in your body is to consume and get rid of diseased tissue. That the bacteria is not the thing that makes you sick. They are doing an important job of scavenging out this diseased stuff once it's diseased. Anyway, that's maybe a discussion for another day. Let me get back to more on sun gazing. I forgot to mention that in my thinking, when I use the term sun gazing, it's not just looking at the sun. It also includes the closely related practices of sunbathing and direct ground contact, your bare feet touching the bare earth. When you do all these things all together, I just kind of, you have to give it a name, so I just call it sun gazing, but I really include all three together. Part of the reason I include all three, the sunbathing is very compelling evidence that, in fact, it's not really, I would say it's absolute scientific proof. It's been proven many, many different ways that you greatly enhance the production of vitamin D in your skin. If you're doing it right, you're making something like 10,000 international units of vitamin D, as long as it's you're not overdoing it. You never want to get a sunburn, but you want to be out there long enough to get a light suntan. And so basically, the vitamin D has been proven to prevent any number of killer diseases, and the most recent study that gives credence to this, that's been widely published in peer-reviewed journals, such as New England Journal of Medicine, is in Creighton University in Nebraska last year. they did a longitudinal study of 1,100 postmenopausal women, giving them vitamin D and calcium, and they were actually looking to see how that affects osteoporosis later in life. But there was an unintended effect that was very, very shocking. They found a 77% reduction in cancer cases over the next 4 years, which is quite stunning. Now, it's not 100% bulletproof in terms of, let's say, the gold standard is the when you're looking at a pill, a pharmaceutical that will cure an existing illness, they use the double-blind control study with a placebo, and then you look at the difference between both groups, you know, the actual experimental group as well as the control group, and from that you can deduce things about the efficacy of that particular pill. In this case, when you're looking at preventing a disease that people don't yet have, you can't really use a control group like that. It doesn't quite fit the pattern. But what you, but it's called a cohort test, is when you actually look at a number of people, how it affects them in the years to come, and it's very, very clear that vitamin D closely correlated with preventing cancer, all forms of cancer. There's another interesting aspect of vitamin D, which comes from the sun hitting your skin, and that is that it's an immunoregulator. It slows down your immune system, and in many cases, in doing so, it's your immune system running amok that causes the certain kinds of diseases such as arthritis or multiple sclerosis or even diabetes. And by having enough vitamin D, slowing down your immune system, found that it's very, very strongly correlated with people who are able to overcome these horrible diseases. So you can say that sun bathing as well as sun gazing clearly reduces these things. Another very important aspect of vitamin D, which you get from sunbathing and sun gazing, it's called an angiogenesis inhibitor. Think of a small tumor in your body. It sends out enzymes that creates blood vessels to provide its own nourishment. And by when you have sufficient vitamin D, it basically starves the tumor. The thing dies because it will not send out these. The vitamin D will not allow the thing to send out these, create the new blood vessels. Think of angiogenesis means the creation of blood vessels, and the vitamin D inhibits that or stops that. We all know that the ultraviolet rays also hitting your skin is an antibiotic that has a mild antibiotic effect. And the most striking thing there is 100 years ago, what cancer is today, a huge killer that just is very scary and it's like there's no good way to treat it, tuberculosis was like that 100 years ago, and there was a number of heliotherapists, most notably Dr. Niels Finsen from Denmark, who came up with the cure for tuberculosis. Just stick the patient out in the sun. The sun takes care of it. And I find it very ironic. Oh, I might add, let me back up a second. In coming up with that cure, he won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1903, really legitimized this practice. I find it fascinating that what tuberculosis was 100 years ago was like cancer is today. They both have the same cure. Put people out in the sun, and you will either prevent cancer, or I've heard of cases where it will cure cancer. And by the way, I am not a doctor, and I'm not legally allowed to dispense medical advice. And the information that I'm giving you, you can't really take to the bank. There are no official government endorsements of this stuff. All I'm doing is relaying stuff that I've read and stuff that people tell me. And but you have to take it all with a grain of salt. The way I think of it is, we are all experimenters. Every one of us who sun gazes, we're experimenters. And we are trying to see if, in our personal case, if sun gazing along with sunbathing, direct ground contact, and drinking sun-charged water, does that help us achieve these wonderful benefits that HRM has reported and many other people have reported, and even I personally am reporting. But we don't know for sure, because every person is different. Your body is different. You have a different genetic makeup, different habits. Who knows? There are no guarantees in the field of medicine, and certainly no guarantees when it comes to sun gazing. But we all have to kind of use our own intuition and our own judgment and see what works for us. Let me jump back here, more of the benefits of sun gazing. I mentioned that in order to achieve optimal health, we need to exercise more. So how is it that sun gazing and sunbathing can lead to the desire or the ability to get better exercise? Very, very interesting effect going on here. There, in the presence of stray radiation that you get from the television and computer monitors and overhead telephone lines, they found that blood vessels tend to clump. It's called the Rouleau effect, and that's spelled Rouleaux. And you guys from Canada, I'm sure, could have spelled it without my help. But basically, this seriously affects the blood vessels or the blood cells' ability to carry oxygen and pass it to your cells. And they found that in the presence of ultraviolet light, the cells singulate. They become separate. And now they can more readily absorb oxygen and more readily pass into your cells. And it's believed that this effect of the declumping of the blood cells improves your muscle tone, makes you more likely that you will feel like exercising. And I know in my own case, when I used to go sun gazing at the top of a hill in a place near my house, there's a certain part of that hill when I would finish, and it was very, very steep. And it turns out that for about 10 or 15 or maybe 20 feet of it, you kind of have to run down the hill because it's hard to get good footing. And I found that when I would run down this hill, when I reached the bottom, not right away, but I'm going to say after a number of months of sun gazing, I found that I felt like keeping on running for some weird reason. I had no idea why. And I would run, maybe 100 yards or so, just because I got all this energy. And it was only really years later I learned about this Rouleau effect. And I feel like, you kind of put two and two together. And I feel like sun gazing and sunbathing really does improve your muscle tone, as in my experience. Also, the ancient Romans used to take the gladiators and put them out in the sun because they knew that that improved their strength. And also, I just wanted to share with you just a little something slightly odd that happened last week. I was at jury duty, and I was hanging around the jury room. You know, we're talking. I was not actually called for the jury, but we're in there with maybe 100 or so other people. I was sitting next to a guy, a 21-year-old young man, who's about to join the Marines, and I'm just talking with him, and I don't know, maybe an hour or so into the conversation, I said, you know what, I'd like to be a Marine for the next 30 seconds. I got down on the floor and did 20 push-ups, textbook, clean, good push-ups, exactly the way you have to do it when you're a Marine. I got up, you know, brushed myself off and said, okay, it's your turn. He gave me some little excuse. Well, I'm not really ready for that just yet. I thought to myself, you know what, buddy? Some drill instructor is going to have a field day with you. But anyway, the point is that guy should have been running rings around me, and here I am, old enough to be his father. I'm 54, and I can tell you I'm not an athlete. I don't really exercise that much. And I feel like there I have this secret ally making me stronger, and it is clearly the sun, both sun gazing and sun bathing, and it's just a very magical kind of effect if you allow that to happen to you. Anyway, let me move on here. We were talking about, the benefits of sun gazing, achieving optimal health, the things that we need to do to achieve optimal health. We're talking about the immune system. I think we covered that a little bit. Emotionally and spiritually getting your house in order. It's hard to put in words exactly, but generally the sun gazers that I know, and I speak to many, many of them on several internet news groups, all of us have become very spiritually aware. I know in my own case, that's certainly the case with me. I feel like, I'm not sure how to put it in words exactly, all of our distant prehistoric ancestors, you know, the cavemen, for lack of a better term, they obviously knew the power of the sun. And over the millions of years, it sort of evolved into the ancient civilizations that worshipped the sun because they knew the sun's great power. With the rise of Christianity, basically, and I please excuse me if I'm offending some people here because I'm sure that I will be, that essentially the rise of Christianity looked at the polytheists, the so-called pagans, and said, you know, there's no room for sun worship for those of you who are now Christian. And they essentially banned anything that kind of resembled sun worship, including sun gazing, because we know that all of the ancient civilizations participated in sun gazing. And so it kind of fell out of favor and essentially was replaced by monotheism. And so for well over 1,000 years, the wisdom of the ancient civilizations, the polytheists or the pagans, it just kind of fell out of favor, and only, I'm going to say, in the 1700s or the 1800s was more or less rediscovered. And especially in the 1800s, the heliotherapists of Europe, most notably Dr. August Rollier of Switzerland opened up these number of, I think, 23 heliotherapy clinics, got wonderful results healing all kinds of diseases and preventing all kinds of diseases and improving people's immune systems. And that kind of continued, I should say, this rediscovery of the power, the healing power of the sun, continued until 1936, when something brought it to an abrupt halt, and that is the widespread use of penicillin and other antibiotics. Basically, what was the wisdom that was kind of overtaken by replaced by Christianity, 2,000 years ago, now it was this wisdom was rediscovered, and in 1936, this wisdom was now crushed by the medical profession out of what to me amounts to greed. It was essentially the doctors felt that they don't want to empower patients to be able to heal themselves. They want to be the ones who have this power, and you have to go to the doctor and you have to pay him the money for the injections. And what was so essentially the medical profession now found new reasons to bury the healthy effects of the sun. And it's only in the 1980s, I would say, that we're starting to kind of rediscover the stuff again.